何が？
Hello, Queercateers. This is Evil Jeff, and you are listening to the 49th episode of CBQ Legacy, Comic Book Queers. I am here with our effervescent co-host, Brett.
I'm bubbly.
How are you doing?
Fizzy.
Fizzy. Bubbly.
I'm fizzy.
Yes.
I can't believe it's episode 49. Shit, 50's right around the corner, and we're going to have
right
to do something special,
corner.
And we haven't even...
I know, we haven't even thought about it.
I need to do a shot.
Woo! Maybe we can do... Well, we'll talk about it offline.
We'll talk about it offline. Let's focus
this
on
this whole episode is us just brainstorming.
For the next one. This is our hype episode. Actually, there is something I want to start with. I just want to say thanks to Anthony at the X Nation podcast who got in touch with us and pointed us to our old show pages on the Internet Archive.
Yes.
I've been collecting. I've got the old show. We've got it.
Yeah, so we can release. We need to release the original time. It was Dazzler, Emma, and Storm.
And I just downloaded that shit.
Yeah,
I have
we need to re-release that.
That
one. Because that
was episode 94, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, that one's pretty amazing.
That was pretty amazing. And it's just like every Steve episode, like we've got it all. Like I'm so happy. Anthony, thank you so much. Yeah, so we'll drop some flashback episodes. Fuck. Forever.
Yay!
All right.
Well, I think we should start this off with something high-paced and fun and zany, don't you think?
Okay, I would love to do that.
Once again, I did not read Captain Marvel. So
God
it's,
damn it!
So it's the life of Captain Marvel, and I didn't read it. So what I decided to do last time was do an instant read, and just read it in front and give a review just live without ever having read it.
Yeah, and, the instant.
And Brett felt that I took way too long.
It was like a crock pot review. It wasn't instant.
So we are going to change this up, and Brett is going to now give me... How much time are you going to give
60 seconds.
Me? 60
That's
seconds.
All, you get.
All right, so I have 60 seconds to review The Life of Captain Marvel.
Which you haven't read before.
So just let's start after I get to the first page. So let me just say the cover is her looking at herself as a child. And the last issues, it's just her visiting home. And she has, like, an alcoholic brother. And her dad was abusive. And the dad is dead.
Jesus.
So it's fun stuff. And Captain America... Oh, wait. And then I think the brother died because he was in a car accident. And now she's just, like, off the grid. And Captain America wants her back. All right. So are we ready?
We're ready. 60 seconds on the clock. Starts now.
All right, so now she's like hanging out with her cat at her mom's place, and she's like remembering the funeral of her brother, and apparently he was like some soldier because they're folding the flag and doing all that stuff, and she's like all sad, and oh, it's all in black and white. So this is all about her like trying to get her mojo back. This is always like second act stuff. And then a big explosion happens with Captain America, and then someone that looks like Mystique crossed with Danger comes. And then I guess she's the new bad guy because they have to have a girl bad guy if it's a girl comic. And then now she
30
meets
seconds.
Oh, my God. And now she like meets some guy who clearly was her high school crush. And then and now this blue girl is like an alien and she's wearing a Captain America shirt and she's like driving around and then she's battling.
15 seconds.
She's battling Captain Marvel and now she's still
10,
home. And
nine,
just what's
eight,
the last page?
7, 6. Five,
and the last
four,
page. Shit,
three,
I need to get to the last page.
Two, one. I'm so sorry. Oh, no, we'll never know. We'll never know what
well,
happened.
It just ends with a boat accident. There you go. This
right,
looks.
Well,
and just my final review is this looks stupid.
Okay.
It's just her at home.
It is the life of Captain Marvel. She's got a life outside of being Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
that's
but let's, what about the fun life where she has a fun apartment in Manhattan? And then she's going and getting drunk because that time she was raped by an alien.
Oh,
I don't want her like going home remembering her abusive dad.
Well, I was supposed to read The Century No. 3 for today's show by Jeff Lemire. And I didn't. So I'm wondering if you want to give me 60 seconds on the clock while I go through century number three for the first time.
Alrighty. And so once again, we have 1 minute reviews. Are you ready? Do you have the cover open?
Let me just explain the cover. The cover is Sentry fighting.
And give an explain of like what's been going on in the last few issues.
Yeah, okay. So in the last few issues, Sentry has this pocket universe that he goes into for 1 hour, one day. It's really Robert Reynolds that goes into this thing. This thing was created by Doctor Strange, and it's kind of like a vent in which he can, like, just Sentry. He could be the Sentry in this little pocket world for an hour. It is like a Superman, superhero 101 Metropolis kind of fantasy where he's got Lady Sentry and Kid Sentry and Dog Sentry, and they're fighting the Void as the big villain, and just it's like a little pocket reality. So a villain just entered the pocket reality. It's like virtual reality. You go into a chamber and you experience all this stuff. So anyway, this guy from Earth, who's like some like dude that Bob Reynolds knows, just went into this pocket universe and killed everybody, like real horribly.
So is this picking up after that?
The Sentry. Yeah.
Okay, ready for 1 minute review?
Okay.
And go!
Okay, the cover has Iron Man on it and some guy that looks like the Mandarin, which is weird because Punisher just killed Mandarin in Punisher number one by Matthew Rosenberg. All right, so he's on his construction site. He is Bob Reynolds. He's talking to some guy. He's like, oh, hey, remember when you used to come in with me as Kid Sentry? Okay, they're eating pancakes. We're showing the brutal murder of Kid Sentry again. I don't know why. They're talking about it. Oh, it's just more people. It's two guys at a table talking. Ooh, I'm so excited to not read this book, actually. Okay, the guy he's talking to, who's like another piece of shit construction worker, he puts on this crown thing. Does that bring him into Sentry World? I think so.
30 seconds.
I think he is. Like, he's just some construction worker who put on the helmet and, like, went in there and killed all the people. Okay, now something is shattered.
20 seconds.
Eyeballs all over the shattered glass. That looks really cool. Whack. He just injected himself with something. He has one arm. I am the Sentry now. Only me.
10, 9.
How is this 8, over already? 7, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. 6, I win. I'm 5. Done.
You win.
It looks really good.
Wait. This is not a game. There's no winning or losing. Oh, wait. Isn't so wait. There? Was the whole thing just him talking with Tony
it's
Stark?
It's literally him talking to, not Tony Stark, it's some guy. I have no idea why Tony Stark is on the cover. Or I have no idea why Iron Man is on the cover. Or it could be Iron Heart. I have no idea.
The cream of some young guy?
Could be. I think that's what they were eating.
Well, I think that proved absolutely nothing, and people probably have no idea whether they should read either of those.
Well,
based
at least
on the 1 minute reviews,
piqued their curiosity.
I agree.
One minute reviews,
and in addition to that,
ew.
I read a DC book.
You know, I did want to try to rename this segment in honor of Steve, who loved DC, but I feel like, no, he appreciates every time we say ew.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What did you... Did you read a DC book?
I did. I read Justice League Dark.
Ooh, is it number one?
It is number two. Justice League Dark by James Tynion IV and Alvaro Martinez. It is the team of Wonder Woman, Zatanna, Man-Bat, Swamp Thing, Detective Chimp. Yeah. It's all about Wonder Woman taking it upon herself to restore magic in the world, which has been kind of taken away and corrupted. And it's a lot of magic people being like, stay out of our world, warrior woman, for you
don't
understand.
Why is she taking this on?
They keep flashing back to things in her youth. She does have some kind of connection to magic. It was born out of, I already forget the name of the event, where the Justice League characters were broken into four teams, like the Wonder Team and the,
right.
And the after the different trees, and they had to save those trees. It's all based off that.
That wasn't Metal, no.
No. Oh gosh, I'm so embarrassed that I can't remember the name of it right now. No, Justice League, no. Someone's
called,
listening,
it was called,
screaming at us.
It's called The Tree Agenda.
The Tree Agenda. Mystery and Tree Depor. It's born from that fucking book. It'll pop in my head later. Anyway, in this issue, on this quest to restore magic or, you know, untaint it, the team winds up going to Dr. Fate's tower. And Dr. Fate is very much like a Moon Knight in that the dude is a vessel for a god. In the case of Dr. Fate, you know, it's like Moon Knight is the avatar of Nashu. In Dr. Fate is the avatar of a god called Nabu. Anyway, the team is like talking to Dr. Fate and he's being all Dr. Fate mysterious. And then it's you slowly through different characters realizing it, you realize that they're not talking to like the dude Dr. Fate, they're talking to the god Dr. Fate, okay, who then attacks them. And it's pretty cool. In other news, Swamp Thing, he goes up to the Tree of Wonder that's like corrupting magic. He senses there's a dark presence in it. He winds up talking to Constantine, and it seems like Swamp Thing is feeling real depressed. Like the guy who is Swamp Thing doesn't want to be Swamp Thing anymore, so Constantine is giving him a pep talk. And you know you're down in the dumps if John Constantine is the one telling you to buck up, little camper. You know you are like way deep in it.
Isn't he bisexual in the comics?
He is.
Does he give Swamp Thing a plant job?
He does. He does. Yeah, he takes this little like spritzer bottle and he sprays something on Swamp Thing's crotch, and all these flowers grow out of it. Yeah, it's just you know us in DC books. It's like, oh, gosh, if we were steeped in DC history, we probably would be able to glean more out of these books. You know that feeling. Mm-hmm. But it's just, yeah, it's just magic characters kind of contemplating magic's place in the world and trying to bring it back, and other magic characters are trying to stop them. And the thing I keep going back to this book for, I read number one, I'm reading number two. It's DC characters who I don't know much about, but I've always kind of liked. Your Man-Bats, your Swamp Things, your Detective Chimps, your Dr. Fates. I love Zatanna, always love Zatanna. And it's nice to be reading a Wonder Woman book, which I don't do.
But I kept trying to go back to the Wonder Woman solo book, and it just was not good. Especially when they added her dumb brother.
Oh, that brother sounded so dumb. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not following the plot that hard. I'm not really into like, ooh, this is good mystery. All right. I just dig these kooky characters. So I'm going to stay on board.
What do you give it?
I give it 2.5 ewes.
I read Action Comics. So apparently there's now...
I thought that was over.
No. That was Man of Steel.
Ah.
So Man of Steel then led to Superman and Action Comics, and I think both Brian Michael Bendis is writing both of them.
Yeah.
So one of them is dealing with that guy who blew up Krypton.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is dealing with the fires. So Action Comics is dealing with the whole idea of like who's starting all these fires. So I read the first one, and then there's a second one, and I just that just was released last week, and I kind of just gleamed through it because I didn't have time to read the whole thing. But the thing ended in Man of Steel, how Superman, like this little boy, comes and is like, "I saw who started the fires. It was Superman.
It was him."
And he tells the new, like, this female head of the fire department. Anyway, he finds out about that. He finds the little kid, and the little kid, basically, he's like, "Some bald guy told me to say it." So now he's like going through all the bald bad guys. He's like, "Is it Lex Luthor? Is it this? Is it this?" And in the end, you find out that it's a... Oh, and during this whole entire time, everyone's like, "Oh, the rumors are now that Lois..." Because Lois is gone with his son. And then it's like, "Oh, it heard that she left you for Superman." And like, so all the tabloids are printing that Lois left Clark Kent for Superman.
Oh my God.
And so he's like, everyone's like, "Oh, sorry about your wife leaving you." And he like can't say anything. But anyway, it turns out the bald guy is some rando bald mafia guy. And there's this weird mafia group, and they're like, who put the, you know, who said that Superman started these fires? Now he's going to be in, now he's going to be looking for us. Who did this? You're an idiot. And the bald guy's like, I did it. You know, we're going to, now they're all going after him, and we get the heat off of us. And then this red cloud appears and goes into his system and murders him, kind of like Dust from the X-Men.
Okay.
And then this woman forms from the cloud, and she's called the Red Cloud. And she's like, I'm your real boss, and any of you try and do something behind my back like this again, I'll kill you. And they're all like, okay, okay, you're the boss. Anyway, at the very end, they release, like, literally in the letters pages, it says that the Red Cloud is someone Superman knows. So they literally list, who is it? Is it? And they list the suspects. Like, it's like a children, like, who do you think is the Red Cloud?
Who is the list of suspects?
It's the female fire department head, which I was like, that doesn't make sense, because why would they send the little boy to go talk? I don't know. So there's the new lady. It's all women. And then the other one is... the gossip columnist Trish Q.
Dun dun.
And then the other one, and then there's another reporter. Bum, and bum. And then who was the other? And then there was like some other woman, and it was all like, who do you think it is? I'm like, I don't care.
I don't care about any of these. And it's obviously the fire department lady. Okay.
And then
imagine if it's the gossip columnist though. The gossip columnist. I love the idea of a supervillain gossip columnist.
And then
let's
the second
journalist,
and I just skimmed through the second one, but the second one is him dealing with the aftermath of all of these journalists writing about Superman, how she's either with Lois or he's alone or he may have started the fires. So he's just trying to like clean up his image. And at the very end of the comic, he's following someone, and then he's like, Lois? And this woman with a wig turns around and pulls off the wig, and she goes, hi, honey. And I'm like, what? It's Lois Lane. But without the kid.
Is the Red Cloud? Or no, just a different lady?
No, it's just like she's dressed up like a hooker or something.
What?
So I'm like, I don't know what is
happening.
Going on.
All I know is that Superman needs to do a PR tour with Billy Joel. And Billy Joel needs to just sing, we didn't start the fire.
I was like, where are you going with this? Did Billy Joel recently have a bad PR thing? No.
No.
You're going for a deep cut.
I just read, somebody just described Billy Joel as like, when you think you're into rock and roll, but you're really into show tunes. Billy Joel.
That is perfect.
Billy Joel.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh, Billy Joel. I will give this 2.5 ooze.
So about the same.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, we both read some like mid-tier DC books this week. That's awesome. There is something really big happening in our favorite corner of the Marvel Universe, the X corner.
Yes.
And that is a glut of books that came out over the past week or two.
Yes.
So many books.
And I think we need to start with the biggest change. It's a change it's been 30 years.
All right, well, let's introduce this segment proper. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Extravaganza! X, X,
X, X, X, X, X, X, X, X, X.
Great. Welcome to the Extravaganza, where we're going to take a deep dive into a ton of X books.
Yes. And here, now, we know what we're talking about.
Now we know what we're talking about.
And speaking of like things changing in history, we are now, and I've read a bunch of articles about this comic, where the people really can't decide whether or not this is something racist that happened, or if it was correcting something that was racist.
So you're clearly talking about...
Psylocke.
In Hunt for Wolverine, Mystery in Madripoor, number 4.
Psylocke is now white.
Psylocke is back in her Caucasian body, thanks to Jim Zub and Tony Silas.
Yes.
Okay, so a few things. One, doesn't it seem like her taste in colors changes, like, the second she's back in her white body? She's like, all of a sudden, I like lighter shades of purple.
Yeah. Yeah, like, why do white girls have to have light purple, right, and Asian girls like dark purple?
Right. So there's that. Second of all, please, like, it really does, I don't know. I really would have loved some, like, still her, like, just keep doing some ninja stuff, because I worry. Because I don't trust how this
is
being handled.
How about the artist know how to draw an Asian person versus a white person?
Oh, Lord.
The art is really bad. The art is bad. I don't like
the art is not my style.
Well, my main problem is the Asian people and the white people look the same. So when she bursts out, it's like, ah, and you're like, what?
It's like, what? Your hair changed?
And they're, it's almost like a whispering, like, psst, she's white now.
It's such a weird story, too. So, like, if you break down what happened, okay, so some sort of psychic parasite mutant murdered Psylocke by eating her soul, but Psylocke's
soul... And her body is dead. Her body is just dead.
Her body is dead. So, and Psylocke's soul is so powerful that it was still kind of just in there doing its own thing. She stumbles across patches, like a piece of Wolverine's soul that I guess...
Patch. It's not a dog. Patches.
I was going to say Patches' soul. I meant apostrophe S.
Hey, so, Patches!
So
come
when
here.
Wolverine was Patches in Madripoor, evidently he got sucked a little bit by Sapphire Styx, and so part of Patches' soul was in there. And Patches' soul was like, rah, rah, Betsy. By the way, Betsy's soul obviously does not look Asian. He's like, rah, rah, Betsy, you can do it. And she's like, you're right. And then somehow, like, took over Sapphire Styx's body and rearranged
the molecules. And
repieced
her molecules and repieced her body back together.
What the fuck? How?
So that means she still has her telekinesis. So here's some problems. If she repieced herself from her original white body, that white body did not have telekinesis.
Yeah.
Also, there is a twist at the end. Oh, before we even get to that, I did like the part, the person knew, because Jubilee comes up. Because Jubilee is the first other, her and Wolverine are the first people to meet Asian Psylocke.
Yeah, in the Acts of Vengeance storyline.
And so she comes up and she's like, so this is what you really look like? At least they like, this person knew their history of like, and she's like, remember how we first met? Like, she was like, I know. Yeah. Like, this is like, wow. And my question is, does she not have ninja powers anymore? Like ninja fighting skills anymore?
I know that because there, I feel like, speaking of Anthony from the X Nation podcast, we were chatting about it and he's like, I feel like what's going to happen is she's going to maintain the knowledge, but her body, like she needs to relearn the muscle memory to do all that stuff. So she'll be like kind of back at a learning curve.
All right, as long as they say that. But if they flat out do, like, I don't know how to do ninja stuff anymore, I will not be on board with that.
I will be so pissed. Here's what you do. You give her the goddamn cloak back, and you make her, like, an Assassin's Creed type rogue.
Yes.
Kind of, not rogue, Southern Belle rogue.
Why
rogue,
are they not rogue. Giving her the cloak?
Just give her the cloak. Make her, like, a shadowy, kind of weird figure. She doesn't need the armor because she can still fight you off.
Yeah.
With her fists and her feet, she can still do that. She doesn't have telekinesis anymore.
And, well, then how did she put herself back piece by piece?
Piece
by piece.
She exhausted her teak.
Maybe her TK, her took.
Her TK.
Also, a cloak, that is an artist's wet dream.
That's a podcaster. That's a gay comic book podcaster's wet dream.
But artists love to draw cloaks. There's a twist at the end.
Oh, I hated it.
I did too. Fucking Quanon is back.
Is it Quanon or is it is it Sapphire Styx in Quanon's body? Oh Lord. So oh God.
Or is it Psylocke's original body?
Is it Quanon?
I think it is Quanon because I think they were like, here's the racism problem. We have a main Asian character who isn't really fucking Asian. So their thing is, we're going to make her white again and get rid of that problematic storyline. But we're now going to have Kwannon still be a character, so we still have an Asian character. But no one cares about Kwannon.
No one cares about Kwannon. So is she going to be Psylocke's arch nemesis now?
I don't know. But then like if
the, she's the Dark Beast version of Psylocke. Oh.
Ugh, yeah. I felt like I did not need that.
I didn't need that. But you don't want to delete an Asian character.
Yeah.
I mean, so instead what, you diminish one?
Yeah. Oh, so all of this is leading up to
what a mess.
The what is it, the Wolverine?
Hunt for Wolverine. The next book is going to be Dead Ends.
Dead Ends.
Which is just a one shot, I want to say, with all four books groups culminating. And then we're going to get, another four-issue limited series called The Return of Wolverine. Hey, everybody, this is the slowest rebirth ever.
It is it's the slowest motherfucking thing I've ever seen.
And it's so boring. Are you really, like, this is what the big mystery is, that some corporation we never even fucking heard of, so thanks for inventing bullshit, brought him back from the dead and made him like a zombie assassin and brain. Oh,
and if that's true, then when did he get the fucking, what is it, the teleporting stone? What is that, the...
Yeah, why doesn't it have to do with the reality stone?
The reality stone.
Or the space stone or whatever it was.
Or him, like, and then why did, if he's some evil brainwashed assassin, why did he show up to the wedding without anyone knowing? Kitty and Klaus's wedding.
Thank you. What the fuck? If they find Wolverine and he's like some brainwashed feral assassin, I'm going to be like, yo, he was at the wedding and he had an infinity stone. What
did you all forget about the gems? Because gays, we don't forget about gems.
I never forget about a shiny stone.
Forget about it. So anyway, that's all. I'm interested to see where it is.
It's the whole thing.
But the weird thing is she then? I'm hoping she is a main character on the Uncanny X-Men.
Well, all right. So look, Psylocke. They had that cover of Uncanny X-Men number one with like a gaggle of rando mutants on it. It's just, it's so rando that it does make me feel like it's going to be the ultimate team lineup, even though they gave us the gag of the same team pose on the issue 2 cover, but it's all multiple men as every character.
Yeah.
And then number 3, it's a Legion-based cover, which is weird. It's like two different alternate versions of Legion side by side. So who knows what this thing is going to be? Who knows? Not me.
I'm having my hopes up.
Nobody knows.
But so far, the X-Men have been disappointing me time after time. So,
yeah.
Speaking of disappointments, X-Men Gold.
X-Men Gold, I haven't read it. Walk me through it. Is it still just about Storm?
Yeah, it's just there's this weird god character.
Filler. It's filler. It's a filler story.
And he brought back her parents from the dead.
Oh, God.
But all of them are like zombies that he can control. So in the end, she like figures out he's bad because she finds this catacomb with all these people that he's feeding off of. And then she's like, oh, I figured it out. And he's like, what a shame. Now you must die. And then he flips the switch, like some switch, like magic switch, and all the people turn into zombies, including her parents. And then they all just like kind of overtaking her like in a zombie horde. And she calls for the hammer and it doesn't come to her.
Oh,
instead,
damn.
It flies back in the universe.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
But I'm just kind of like, I have seen this story before. Like, this is not, like, I've just, I don't know.
It's real basic.
That's what it is. It's just basic. Storm deserves better. Storm deserves something better than this.
When the zombies were on her, was she like, my claustrophobia?
Oh, and then there's a bad pun.
At the end?
Oh, shit, what's the pun?
Again?
All right,
I have the issue. I just haven't read it. I can open it.
I just need to... Wait, now I need to go and look. And let me go to the last page here.
Oh, no. Who's doing this to us?
All right, well, it's a Storm pun. So what do you think it is?
Got a bolt.
got a bolt. No, it's... are you ready for this? Severe storm warning.
Oh, God.
Whoever is writing these coming...
Talk about basic.
They need to be murdered.
Even the pun at the end is basic.
Okay, let's move on.
Red. Let's do X-Men Red number 7, Tom Taylor.
I hate it.
I love it. Is that it? Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. I just don't think it's interesting.
I love it.
I don't think anything interesting is happening.
I love it. I love Jean is the new Professor X and Trinary is the new Jean.
Okay, I did love Trinary shot. Oh, I can't do it. I was shot.
Trinary is the new Jean.
Trinary is useless.
She's not useless.
I'm just not interested.
She got shot and then saved everyone anyway.
I feel like Jean needs something more fun and juicier. I just don't like...
As a soap opera character, not as a politics character.
Yeah, but even the politics, I just don't feel like it's just not interesting to me. I need something
better. Oh, it's very much Cassandra Nova equals Trump.
Yeah.
Jean's whole speech at the end, I found to be inspirational. Okay. And it was like, it just makes the X-Men matter again. Like, it's so cliche already, I know, to say X-Men Red is making the X-Men metaphor relevant again, but it is.
All right. I like Jean. I like the characters. I just don't feel it's written. I just don't like the writing of it.
Yeah.
I just don't feel it's written well. I feel like it's not, the pacing is off. I feel like it's not, there's not a lot of good builds. And I feel like the character development just really isn't there. I feel it's so focused on politics that it's not doing any character development.
Yeah. I just thought that this issue felt like an action movie. I thought the pace was great in this particular issue, where I think you might mean story arc overall.
Yeah, I think the actual whole plane scene where the guy is shooting through the plane and they're all trying to save that, as an action sequence, that is good. But overall, I just am not interested where the story is going right now. I'm not happy about it yet.
Yeah. Well, it looks like this one, oh no, maybe it didn't. I thought this arc ended. But it says next global hatred. So it sounds like it's going to keep going.
Yeah. I want more. I think there needs to be a fucking confrontation with her and Cassandra Nova. Like, that is where the juicy stuff is going to be.
I'm sure there will be.
I want them to have words.
I'm sure they will.
Well, get to it.
Hey, speaking of words, though, I want to read Jean's speech at the end.
Okay.
On the last page, what happened next was the work of Cassandra Nova. She is hell-bent on exterminating mutant kind by stoking hostility in humanity, and she has been successful up until now. Nova has implanted hate directly into the minds of individuals. She has preyed on bias. She has corrupted the way people think. Government leaders speaking and acting as if some people are less than human than others? If you're watching this and you feel your hatred for mutants has been increasing, please consider the idea that you are being manipulated. I know some of you, faced with this truth, will choose to not believe it. The X-Men will fight for you anyway. Hell yeah!
I'm going to now read a line from an X-Men book that was written just as well. Severe storm warning. No, I'm kidding. That is lovely. I do love that it is comparing it to Trump, but I feel like they're falling into this trap of they're more concerned with the message than the actual character arcs.
Yeah, and I do feel like, okay, you delivered the message. Now let's
dig into the characters.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. How is she adjusting to being alive again? I want that. I want her being like, go to YouTube, go on Reddit. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Well, I kind of like, though, that she showed up. She's like, yeah, I don't need to go on YouTube and Reddit. I could already tell that I don't like what's going on around me, so I'm going to change it. So rather than Jean adjusting to the world, Jean is adjusting the world, and yeah. I dig it.
Yeah.
But Jean, I got to say, she's a little up her own ass these days. I mean, these days, it's Jean, but... and I'm going to segue into our next X book. So in here, where she's like, hey, Storm and Nightcrawler, or Gambit, or Gentle, I forget, pardon me. And she, whips them up in a TK bubble and, shoots them out.
Ooh.
And, she's like, apologies. All right,
what
so Jean is a little up her own ass. lately because, like, in the beginning of this X-Men Red, when she whips up Storm in the TK bubble in order to, like, shoot her into the ocean right after she apologizes, she's like, "I'm sorry, my friends. To me, my X-Men." And then she, like, whips him up. I'm like, you did not have to say, "To me, my X-Men." Like, you literally could have just was like, "All right, hey, I'm going to do some TK action. All right, here you go, blah, blah, blah." Like, yeah. You didn't need to be like, "To me, my X-Men." And then in Extermination. Did you read Extermination?
I did.
Okay. In Extermination, "Hey, Jean, is Cable your son? You haven't said it enough." Like, my son. He's my stand aside. He's my son. They're going to regret doing this to my son. It's like, okay. All right, Jean. We get it.
First of all, he's not really your son.
And he's not your son. I mean, you raised him.
You did raise him, so I guess you could call him your son, but it is Madeline Pryor's
son. It's your clone son, honey. My son. Like, okay, just, like, ease up on the my. Like, let's acknowledge that there's a bio mama who's now part of you.
Yeah. Before we get into that Jean and that Extermination, I think we should also talk about Jean and the original X-Men in the Astonishing X-Men Annual.
Yes, what a book.
I hated how it ended, though.
How did it end?
Where he erased their memories again.
Yeah, so we're going to have, like, he's going to be that guy.
Where nobody still knows who the fuck he is except for Psylocke.
Except for Psylocke, who's got her own.
So my thing, I liked everything about that book, but in the end he's like, "And I erased your memories, so you're not going to remember it." I'm like,
yeah,
for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. It was a good book, though.
It was good, because it is showing, like, I'm not really Professor X anymore. Like, I've lived a whole entire life, and I have a whole different set of kind of values. And that's kind of interesting.
And it was cool to tap into Lucifer, that villain that is who put him in a wheelchair in the first place. Because per Ed Piskor's X-Men Grand Design, I never knew that Lucifer was like some alien parasite entity thing. I thought it was some dude.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
Yeah. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, so that was cool.
And I will say, in Astonishing X-Men, the Astonishing X-Men Annual, whoever wrote that... Matthew Rosenberg, his Iceman.
Everything. Oh, yeah.
His Iceman was spot on amazing. Yeah,
real good. That was a real good Bobby Drake book.
My favorite thing is Jean is going around being like, you know, "Beast, you have these problems, and Angel, you have your crap," and then Iceman... "Well, I mean, you're actually doing really well." And he's like, "Yeah, actually, thanks." Yeah, and he's like eating his sandwich, like he's eating his food.
Yeah, it's great.
It was great. Awesome. Oh, he was so well written in that.
Yeah, he was really good. And so was Warren, I thought.
Yeah.
And I really was like, okay, Angel, I feel like I'm more connected into what's happening with you right now after this book. Hey, that Matthew Rosenberg, homeboy's writing everything, and he's kind of nailing it.
Yeah. Him and Soul...
Yeah.
They need to take the X-Men into the new level. Who are the writers, though? Is Matthew Rosenberg one of the writers for the Uncanny X-Men, though, right?
Yes, he is.
I'm weirded out that there's three people. I don't trust them.
I know, and you know what? From interviews, it sounded like they were a little weirded out, too, but they figured out a groove and a way to make it work.
Yeah.
Because it's him, it's Kelly Thompson, who writes Mr. and Mrs. X and West Coast Avengers with Quentin.
Oh, shit, we have to talk about that.
Yeah. And it's also, what's his name? Ed Brisson, who is writing Extermination.
Okay. Let's just go in Mr. and Mrs. X, number 2.
Oh, great. I loved it. And we both got excited at...
Well, because it has the tech net.
The tech net. Who doesn't
and
love
I,
the
It's
tech
from
net?
Excalibur, and I just love them.
Love them.
And just Deadpool and Gambit fighting... Just all
really
of them
good.
Fighting and then fighting the TechNet. It was just such this, I think for me, it's like this, and it doesn't necessarily need to be comedy, but there's this pacing that's going on that I feel is missing in X-Men Red. And maybe it's that I need something more lighthearted. Maybe that's just where my mind is now.
Hey, maybe.
But it was so good. And I like the idea where it is like, it's now just a given that Rogue and Gambit, they're honeymooning, so they're in love. There's no drama between them. All the drama is with everything else around them. Kitty is ruining their honeymoon. Deadpool comes in and keeps making jokes about how he made out with Rogue. So it's all of these fun extra things, and then it ends where they're trying to save this egg, and then out of the egg hatches Rogue.
It's so weird.
What a and last they're page. Like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, yeah, what the fuck is that?
It was one of two comics this week that ended with like a main character looking at the camera going, what the fuck? The other one was West Coast Avengers.
Yes, who also is the same writer.
Who is the same writer.
West Coast Avengers is awesome.
Oh, it's great.
It's great.
And we can talk about it as part of our extravaganza because Quentin Quire is one of the highlights of it.
And what I do have a question, though, is the person that Hawkeye is dating, is he a completely brand new character?
He was introduced in the Hawkeye solo series.
Oh, okay. That
stars
All right.
the two
okay.
Hawkeyes. Yeah.
All right. My
and he's
thing
got the
is
same powers as Absorbing Man.
Oh, cool. I want the older Hawkeye to go away.
Yeah, me too. I feel like he might, maybe?
Mm-hmm. I feel like he's not adding anything. And I like the dynamic of all the other characters. Because yeah. It is Hawkeye... it's Hawkeye, Kid Omega, Fuse, and then... was it Gwenpool?
Gwenpool and America.
And America, which I think is great. I wouldn't mind if Hulkling or Wiccan end up joining the team.
They may.
I feel they kind of need to. But anyway, but I really like how it is now. And Quentin Quire is great. He's like that team needs that total dick.
Dick.
Yeah.
What I would love is if there was kind of a adult contingent and it was the original West Coast Avengers, like Ty'Kra and Hawkeye, but then the main focus was this second generation. But yeah. I would like...
But Ty'Kra shows up.
Yeah. I would like Tiny Toons, like how yeah. Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig were teachers, but it was really about the Tiny Toons. Like, I'd love that kind of dynamic.
And then in the end, BroDoc shows up.
Stop with BroDoc.
And so it's so a hot happy. Version of MODOK?
It's a hot MODOK. I can't.
But is it MODOK?
I don't know. But it's
what
MODOK.
Is it? But he's a hot guy, but with an insanely large head?
Yeah, but he's like a bioorganism designed only for kissing or something.
Yes, oh and he kisses God. Kate Bishop, and you're like, what is going on?
Made me so happy.
Yeah, it's great.
The other book that we can include in this extravaganza is Daredevil by Charles Soule, because Cypher is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't really want to talk about Cypher, I want to talk about the fact that they've got the Inhuman Reader, who can... We talked about his powers, right?
Yeah, we talked about that issue already.
Yeah, but no, this new one is...
Oh, there's another one.
It's about the twin brother that you find out Reader accidentally created. He fell asleep. His powers reset when he's asleep. He fell asleep reading the history of Matt Murdock so he could like figure out who it is he's working with. And right when it gets to the weird part about like a twin brother Mike Murdock showing up, he fell asleep and like woke up with his fingers on that name, Mike Murdock. So he accidentally created this fictional twin brother that Matt Murdock played in the 60s. This was in the 60s. Like, to pull some secret identity shenanigans, Matt Murdock pretended he was his twin brother, Mike.
Okay, wait. So in that other issue, when the brother shows up,
at the end,
that is a creation from the Reader.
Yeah, and you didn't know that. Like, it said it in the solicits for next week, and you're like, oh, okay. But then they explain it this issue, where Reader is like, I fell asleep on the words Mike Murdock.
But does Matt Murdock know, but does it create a universe where Matt Murdock always knows he has a brother?
No, Matt.
So
is
when
like,
he's like, "Who the hell are you?" So he's like,
"Who
the
fuck?
Are you?
What the fuck?"
Oh,
is this?
That's awesome! Oh, I can't
he's
wait
like, this
to read
is,
that.
This is something, some shit I pulled like early in my career. I pretended to be this guy. This guy does not exist.
That it's is great. Hilarious.
It's great.
Oh, I love it.
And the guy's like, "No, I absolutely exist." And but he's an asshole. He's like the worst. He's the exact personality that Matt Murdock created to throw people off the trail that he was Daredevil. And I looked it up. This happened in the 60s. It was like Daredevil number 16.
They're going deep cuts.
They're going deep. They're going now, deep.
And then the extravaganza is not stopping there. There's still Multiple Man.
Oh, yes.
Multiple Man. All of those extra Multiple Men with the different powers. Dead.
They're all dead.
The thing that I have is, didn't they all then know they were all going to die there?
I have no idea. I think it's like they realize it there, or like just the magic one realized it.
Because at least the Hulk one died before all the other ones left.
Yeah.
So the one that was Hulk should have known, like, I'm about to die.
And like when they were their earlier versions, the ones that recognized, like, hey, I think that's us.
Yeah.
There were six of them, and then then one of them died right before they were transferred.
Yeah.
Out. That's why there were five.
And then he's like, wait, I don't know which one was, wait, where were you not going? But it's interesting where it is that now we know, though, the serum made him evil.
Yeah, made him crazy.
Made him crazy, and that's why he became this crazy dictator. The thing I still don't understand is how did you become a dictator, though?
Right, so
you're not more powerful than the X-Men, so I don't understand how he...
There's just so many of them.
...defeated them. I guess that's just out of sheer force.
Just out of strength and numbers.
And so this one is just one random dupe, for some reason, is good. But here's my thing, but he's just a dupe. So if he kills the evil version, isn't he a prime, and then he'll disappear?
Well, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the book, while they're on this dimension where Jamie is an evil dictator who took over the world, evil dictator Jamie kills our hero Jamie.
Oh yeah, that's right. He chops his head off.
Chops his head off at the end. So yeah. Now the hero of this book is dead.
But did they beacon the beacon? Did they beacon the beacon, the pestle, the poison, pell with the poisons, the vessel with the pestle? Did they call the X-Men to come to the future to save them?
I don't know.
So now it's just his son.
No, his son was killed too.
That's right. They did. They shot the son. But it was off screen. Oh yeah, that's crazy.
All the good guys died in Multiple Man number 3. The craziest moment. No, he was like, No, we sent the beacon. The X-Men are coming to stop you. And he was like, oh, that happened already. Look at your feet. And he's on a rug of Beast. He's like, the rug on the floor is Beast's hide.
Oh, I thought that was from like when he originally killed him.
Oh, maybe.
But no, and then this is the thing that was when he killed the son, it was kind of off screen. Like you see the gun, but you don't see the kid actually die.
No, because they can't show that.
I love it when they show children being murdered.
Oh, God.
I'm just kidding. No, but so maybe he's not fully dead? I don't know.
He's mostly dead?
Where's Layla Miller in all of this?
She's like, Layla... I don't want to be... This isn't my Jamie. I'm not bothered.
No, but Layla Miller, do we not remember what her powers are?
Oh, yeah.
She can bring people back from the dead.
Oh, shit. I wonder if she's going to do that. But then they're soulless.
Well, you know. Even though she did it to, but you know, strong guy got his soul back.
Yeah.
She's like, look, I'm going to bring you back, but then you have to go through a long journey in hell to get your soul back.
Look, we do have to talk about extermination.
Well, I wanted to end with that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Is there any other ones?
I don't think so.
Okay, extermination.
What did you think overall?
I liked it.
I really liked it.
I liked it a lot. I actually liked the Jeans and the Rachels all together, and I liked that, spoiler alert, Bloodstorm was dusted.
Dead. Like, for real dead.
Bloodstorm is for real dead.
Not like that mojo dead.
Yeah, and I could not be happier.
Yeah, I mean, they got a clean house. She's a natural one to start with.
But then, apparently, there's a reason they ended the Cable solo series.
Yeah,
because Cable was killed by plot twist. Cable?
Yeah. I mean, as soon as Cable was killed, I was like, okay, the hooded figure is young Cable. It's the only person who could get away with killing Cable. Because you know they're not going to kill Cable.
But which version of Cable is this?
It's a young, hot one.
But is it a young, hot of the same time stream? Because remember that other one, there was like different dimension versions of Cable, and like, yeah.
It so depends on the writer when you're dealing with Cable.
Yeah, so I'm like, who is this? Because then where is Nate? Is it Nate Summers?
X-Man.
Where is X-Man?
I don't know. Last time I saw him, it was when his mutant shaman phase, I believe.
And he was with the New Mutants. I feel like was the last time I saw him. Yeah. He was with the New Mutants. And he was just like not even Omega level. He was just like, oh, I'm just hanging out. I have telepathy and telekinesis.
Usual. I'm like a shitty Quentin Quire. If you need me, I'll be over here.
Yeah. But now Cable is dead. Iceman is kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodstorm is dead. And it looks like... So is this still the future? Like Magneto fucked everything up? And the young Cable is trying to fix everything now?
I don't know. I feel like it's separate from the Magneto thing going on in that book, in Blue.
Okay. And then, for some reason, the Ahab is back with the Hounds.
Yes. He seems to be the main antagonist in this book.
Yeah. I don't understand.
It's crazy. I mean, Multiple Man and Extermination, you're dealing with some time travel wackery.
Well, the other thing that I'm scared of is I'm afraid this is what's going to lead into the Uncanny X-Men. And I'm also worried. Well, but this is what I'm worried about, is that they said in the Uncanny X-Men and the things in the interviews that they're like, oh, there's something happening where all the mutants have to gather together. Where I'm like, wait, where there's only a small number of mutants left?
I mean, I feel like they're going to kill all of them. That's just my prediction. And then some shit's going to happen.
But are we going back to killing off all the mutants again?
M-Day? I don't know.
Are we re-M-Daying? No, like, we already did that. Stop doing the same stories again.
You're not going to get away with an M-Day when Jean Grey is around. You ain't.
But that thing where it's like, if they have another thing where it's literally like, there's only 40 mutants left in the world, I will fucking freak out. Because mutants are being born all the time now. In this world, mutants are born again. Oh, I can't handle it, Brett.
I know. I don't know what to do. Stop creating all these mutants if you're just going to be like, we have too many now. Then stop.
Drives me crazy.
It does drive me crazy, but I thought Extermination looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it right now. It's the moment where all of a sudden Nightcrawler bamps Jean in.
Yeah.
And she is like, okay, everybody, I'm here. Step aside.
She's like, don't worry, a real person is here. That's why this new Jean, we need fucking Emma Frost and her.
Oh, I know.
They need to have it out.
Honestly, if Emma was here, she'd be like, he's not even your son.
He's not really your son, so like, quit the crocodile tears.
She'd be like, okay, you said my son 3 times now. So I don't know. I look forward to Extermination. I think it's going to be great. Did I tell you, though?
What?
About FlameCon?
Tell me about FlameCon!
So, yeah.
What is FlameCon?
FlameCon is the premier LGBTQIA+, Comic-Con. It's a queer Comic-Con. It happened in Times Square. And Jamie and I went. Jamie, who we had on during our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. Mm-hmm. She and I went. It was packed beyond belief. Everyone there was like, nobody had any idea it was going to be this crowded. And it was mostly like an artist's alley where a lot of queer creators with their work, you walked around. They had great panel sessions. They had a stage room. They had a gaming room. They had a cosplay room. It was really well done. And I met some of the greatest creators. I couldn't believe what was happening. So...
Dish it, girl.
Walking around, and I look up, and it's like, starting at 3:00, signing Phil Jimenez. I was like, wait, what?
What?
Like, at this table right here where I'm standing? I'm like, wait, is Phil Jimenez? And it was 3:05.
What did you have him sign?
Nothing. I just took pictures with him because I didn't know he was going to be there. I was like, I was second in line. And I went up to him. Jamie and I talked to him for like 15 minutes.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. First of all, he's dead sexy, like real hot. Like I felt bad.
Really?
I was checking out every inch of how him old while is he was he? Talking to me. I mean, he's my age. He's probably like younger. He's probably younger.
Oh, really?
Oh, God.
He's old for some reason.
No, he is not. He is sexy. Mm. So talking to him, I'm like, dude, Invisibles, new X-Men, like these are my Bibles. You drew my Bibles. So he's cute, and his boyfriend lives in my neighborhood. So I'm like, maybe I'll see you around. Wink, wink. did that. Then the highlight is I go into this room, and because I knew it was going to be a panel done by Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men, which is another podcast out there, a very good one, a very popular one. Two people who know more about X-Men than you and I could ever hope to know.
Oh, I would like to do a trivia against them.
That would be amazing. they're incredible people. So they ran this panel, and I knew that Sina Grace was going to be there, the writer of Iceman. Mm-hmm. And, Magdalene, I can't remember her name, but she wrote the Dazzler one-shot.
Yeah.
And it was going to be this delicious panel. I was like, okay, great, let's go. Me and Jamie went, like, I sat in the front. And there's this other woman on the panel, too, who was like, they never said there was going to be this other woman. And I look at Jamie, and I'm like, if that's Leia Williams, the woman who's going to be writing
the Emma Frost
one-shot, I'm going to shit my pants right now. Because not only is she writing that, she's writing the What If one-shot about magic, about Ileana. And they announce the panel, and it's her.
So you're like raging hard.
I'm jizzing my pants. So they announce her name, and she's like, hi, I'm Leia Williams. You know, I wrote the Uncanny Gold annual, and I'll be writing X-Men Black Emma Frost. And I scream, I can't wait. Like... out of nowhere, I was like, ooh. So it was so clear that I, my body language must have been unhinged because I'm looking at the writers of Emma Frost, Iceman, and Dazzler. I'm like, what is happening? This is, and two people who know more about the X-Men than you can possibly believe. I'm like, this is the best. The whole panel was about X-Men as the queer experience. It was so freaking good. So
what are the hosts again? What is their podcast called?
Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men.
Okay.
They are just wonderful. It's a real deep analysis of the entire history of X-Men. And at their booth, Jay and Miles made the cutest tchotchkes to buy. I got a Emma Frost prayer candle.
Oh, yeah, you sent me the pictures.
Yeah, it says Our Lady of Weaponized Femme. I got... two buttons. One says Shameless Cyclops Apologist. And the other one says Cyclops Tried.
Aww.
It was so good. It was just, everything was so great. Anyway. So during the Q&A, I bolt right up. And I'm like, all right, look. I have this theory that back in the day, when Emma Frost entered Iceman's body, she started thinking about Scott and Iceman's
talked about this.
I told them that theory. First of all, brought down the house. Huge house laugh. But I'm like, you two, can you please offer your point of view, Sina and Leia? Could you please offer your point of view on the relationship between Bobby Drake and Emma Frost? And the next 5 minutes were just glory. Just glory. Because it's coming out that Iceman number 2, when they bring that series back, the 5-issue series... Iceman number 2 is just going to be a conversation between him and Emma Frost.
Yeah.
About what she knew and what she didn't know.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. Then.
And you know what she knew. Fucking everything.
Everything. Everything. And he's like, I don't know if many people know this, but Emma had a gay brother. And I fell to the floor. I literally fell to the floor. Like, Emma's going to talk to Bobby about Christian? What?
Yeah.
I cannot. Wait, then I go up to Leia Williams at the end. Like, so she, of course, has this brilliant insight in Emma and Bobby's relationship. I go up to her at the end, and she and I talk about Emma Frost for, like, another 15 minutes. It was unreal. It was so joyful. She is gorgeous and intelligent and funny and just so insightful and wonderful. Like, just, it was so much fun.
Did you talk about the problem of her villainy?
Yes. And do you want to know what she responded?
Yes.
She
said, What?
She said, I got the one shot because I walked into, I forget what ex-editor's office, or I don't know if it's walked into the office, but she's engaging with some ex-editor. And she gives her two-minute speech about Emma Frost, the title of which is Why Emma Frost is Not a Villain.
Yes!
And he said, you got the book.
She's like our hero.
She's our hero. She's going to do
saving,
it.
She's going to do it.
And she just tweeted that someone asked her a question about if something is going to be in the one shot. And she's like, all I can say is I wound up writing a impassioned love letter to Emma Frost. And that is my... That is all I can say about my one shot.
There you go.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
That sounds amazing.
All of our dreams come true, which I don't want to hype up too much. but it was just, it is so great to hear that our favorite comic book character is in the hands of somebody who inherently thinks she is a good person and a hero.
Ugh. I can't wait.
Right?
I can't fucking wait.
I walked out of there on cloud nine. That event is, like, honestly, next year I want you to come to New York so we can go to it. It was so much fun. The only low light was that Jamie and I, you know, we were in PH in Chicago together, the company that folded and the Universe Podcast Network was born. Jamie and I, it was like 7:30. The thing was shutting down at 8. We're like, all right, what haven't we seen yet? Oh, let's go into the stage room. So we walked into the stage room and it was improv. And we were like, well, let's get the fuck out of here. So that was the only thing. It was, we accidentally wound up watching improv, but.
Oh no.
Yeah. My, how we have turned. Other than that, it was wonderful. Oh, during the panel I was talking about, the musical improv show was happening just an air wall away. So during this whole, like, beautiful panel about X-Men and queers, you had musical improv in the background.
Jesus. That's crazy. I keep, my boyfriend keeps getting these advanced screening tickets to action movies.
Uh-huh.
That are like, you know, it's like, it's a year before it's a movie that's going to be released and we need to have people watch it to get audience testing. And we keep getting offers for them, but they're always at times I can't go. And I just keep on wanting to go to them just in case it's the X-Men movie.
I hear that Dark Phoenix, evidently it's a real pile of shit.
Really?
Yeah, that's the buzz.
No.
I don't know. I don't know if it's ever going to see the light of day. I don't know.
Oh, it's going to fucking release it. Of course they are. Of course they are. But wow, that was a lot of X.
That was a whole lot of X. A whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel good about it.
Take those X's and I need to take some Z's now.
Okay. Well, lovely talking to you as always, dear.
You do, Mr. Brett.
Okay. Oh, my husband's just getting home now.
Oh, lovely.
All right, good.
Well, hopefully, maybe next FlameCon I can come out.
Yes. I wish you would come out already.
And we can, we'll have our own fucking panel.
That's
and
right.
And then we'll do our own improv.
That's right. And I'm going to be there in October, bitch, in LA. So we'll have a rare Brett and Jeffrey in the same room recording.
Yay.
But before that, I just want to say in the meantime that if you read comics, well, that makes you queer. Bye.
Goodbye.